It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. Miss Sue is over there running the iPad for us. Hi, Sue. Our guest this morning is Mr. Lee Schrader. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing well, Monica.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, or you can post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record it in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City. I think I covered it all, sir.
You've done great as usual. Way to go.
Would you pray to start us out, please?
Technically, you've already prayed, but but I'll pray again. Anyway, what I want to do is, what I kind of felt led to do this morning is I want to just fill this place up with the Word of God. So I'm going to read some scripture, okay? Because this is God's Word. God wrote the Bible, okay? So I'm going to read here out of Philippians chapter 1, Monica and Sue, and Kaden in the other room?
Kaylin.
Okay, Kaylin in the other room, okay. And let's just all listen to what the Bible has to say this morning, okay? And this is a prayer that Paul prays out of Ephesians chapter 1. And then I always like to read a portion of out of chapter 2 that I'm going to read as a part of this prayer. And I prayed this for everybody that would be in this room and that would hear me this morning. So that would include Monica, accessorized today, Sue, and Kaylin in the other room, and then everybody watching and listening right now and in the future, because I'm recording this, and so this will get posted on the Rock Christian Music, the Hour of Power page, and then on a couple of Facebook pages, my personal one and then another one that I belong to that I will post it on. So it's going to get heard. So this is what I pray for those who hear. You know, through the Bible, Jesus said this in several times in the Gospels, and he said it in the book of Revelation, Sue. He said, for him that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Okay. And then, I was just reading today as part of my devotion, and I was reading Luke chapter 9 and verse 44. This scripture just kind of jumped off. It says, he said, let this sink down into your ears. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. Let this sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is to be betrayed soon, okay? And what he wasn't saying, let the fact that I'm going to be betrayed sink down into yours, but let the sayings of everything I've just said to you previously, just before I'm saying this, sink down into yours. And that has to do with also with what I'm going to talk about this morning, all right? So let this sink down into yours. So let's be like the Bereans. And Acts 17:11 says the Bereans, and Sue's one of those. You know, she writes down everything I said. You know that? God, that's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway.
Thank you.
So, Sue's a Berean, Monica too. And Kaylin's out there. She got her little Bible, and she wrote to ask me how to spell my name because she was going to take some notes this morning, okay? So anyway, so that's to be like a Berean. And the Bible says in Acts 17:11, says the Bereans were more noble than all of the saints in Thessalonica in that they received the apostles' word with all readiness of mind. And then they search the scriptures to see that those things were so. So that's a twofold statement in there. First of all, it's I'm ready. I'm uncrossing my arms. My body language is I'm receiving. Let me have it. I'm ready. Lord, you're getting ready to speak through Lee. Okay. And then when you go home, become a little bit skeptical and say, well, let's just see if what Lee said is scriptural. That's Acts 17:11. Let's just search the scriptures and make sure that he's right, that he's not given some kind of extra biblical revelation that this really is from the Word of God. So that's what we are as Bereans this morning. So open up and receive what I'm getting ready to read to you, and also the message that I'm about to deliver to you. So let's read here, and I just want to read this to you. In Philippians chapter 1, this is a prayer that Paul prays. This is what he says. I thank my God. We'll start with verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Let me just stop right there. How many times have you seen somebody and you thought, boy, you know, I was just thinking about you? Well, that's because the Holy Spirit was wanting you to pray for him. You know, that's right. You know, if you think, man, you've really been on my mind a lot. Well, people say it to me. I said, well, did you pray for me? Yes. Well, no. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two reasons why I'm on your mind. First, the Lord wants you to pray for me. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And secondly, the Holy Spirit, part of what he does as the comforter that fills the whole earth is that he shows us things to come. You're getting ready to see Lee. You're getting ready to see Lee. Be prepared. Anyway, so let's move on. So grace, verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray. So this is his prayer. How I long after you is the same as what he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I would that you knew what conflict I have for all you that are in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, you know, that your hearts will be comforted and knit together in love. So that's prayer. You take somebody on. You know, that's bearing one another's burdens. You know, bear ye, Galatians chapter 6, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do you do that? Well, you take them on as a prayer project, and you begin to pray for them. Okay? For God is my record, how greatly, verse 8, I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now jump over to chapter 2, verse 5. This is the way I pray this prayer. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right? This is how Jesus thought. Now, I'm reading out of the King James, and this is the best translation of this verse. Most other translations blow this one, get it wrong. Okay? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's my prayer, that you would humble yourself. That's what it says in First Peter chapter 5 and James chapter 4. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. God's not doing the humbling. That's your responsibility. God's not humbling anybody. That's your responsibility. Okay? So when people say, well, God's trying to humble me, no, you're an idiot. Sorry, but you are. No, I repent. You're an ignoramus. Okay? That's better. That's true, because idiot is implying that they're stupid. Well, Monica's brilliant, but she doesn't know how to fly the space shuttle, so she's ignorant when it comes to flying the space shuttle. So you're an ignoramus. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, and the Bible does say, let the ignorant be ignorant still. So anyway, just a little humor there. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Amen. Now, let's go ahead and get into my topic. And I want to talk about burying the treasure in your heart. I talked about this Friday, but I'm going to talk about it again. This is important. Tom, I want to talk about burying the treasure in your heart. So go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and I'm going to read you some introductory text. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Can you hear me out there, Kaylin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just checking. All right. That's cute. Yes, sir. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm going to obey God. Kaylin?
Yes, sir.
Would you come here and stand in this hallway and let me speak to you directly, please?
Yes.
Yeah, you. You're the only Kaylin in here. God gave me some scripture for you this morning. This is the scripture the Lord wants me to tell you, and I know now what it is, okay? You can write it down later. Get back here.
I got it. I'll write it down.
We got it. Get back here.
I will write it.
This is the two verses the Lord has for you that he wants you to put on your lips and begin to say and to articulate. Second Timothy 1:7. This is what it says. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Am I hitting it? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then we're going to go over here to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I got this just before I came here. This is the Holy Spirit. Kaylin, he's speaking to you this morning. This is Romans 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're a child of God. You're born of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Not minimizing your past, but your past from this day on is irrelevant. What's important now is going forth. And one more scripture for you is back in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And begin to say these things. And after you hear what I've got to say this morning, it'll make more sense to you why you want to say these things, say these scriptures, okay? Philippians, chapter 3, and starting with verse 8. And it's lengthy, but I'm going to read it all out to you. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency or the privilege of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Yes, that's exactly what it is, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now listen to this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now this is applicable to you especially. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before. Your past is irrelevant. We all have a past. They're irrelevant in God. They're irrelevant in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
everything that's happened in your past was designed to prevent you from going to where you're supposed to be. Jesus said in this, in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's your mandate. That's your mandate, is to have abundant life and prosperity and health and healing and favor. Your past is irrelevant. Not minimizing it, but it, for now on, it means nothing. because you, amen. You press on towards the Lord. Let me finish reading here. That's what he says here in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Eyes on the prize. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. The word of the Lord to you today is that, as I've already said, your past is irrelevant. The Lord doesn't minimize what you've been through. Jesus, he understands, because it says in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, he was tempted in all ways, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what you've been through. He can relate to it. We always want to find somebody who can relate to us. Jesus can relate to you. And now, because of his death and his burial and his resurrection, because he's raised from the dead, now your mandate is to begin to relate to him and to find your identity in him. Nothing else. Yes, amen. All right.
You may go.
You're welcome. Amen. Oh, come back. One more thing. Monica doesn't realize this, but she spoke by the Spirit of God this morning. And this is what she said, and I wrote this down. He blessed me with a quest for his quest. Now, did you hear that from somebody, or is that a Monica Lovelism?
The Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit told you that. I wrote that down. That's going in my notes. What's that say right there? It says Monica Lovell, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. That was the Holy Spirit. He's blessed you with a quest for his quest. That's the mandate for all of us. And that's what I'm going to talk about. He's given us this treasure, and now it's our job to bury that treasure and to hide it in our hearts so that we can make a vast impact upon this world.
Yes.
You may believe now.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right. God is good, isn't he? All right.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, he knows what's going on.
Yes.
He's not stupid. He's smarter than us. Okay, now let's go ahead and let's talk about burying treasure in your hearts. Okay? Now, let's go over here to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to read with verses 6 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. See, there's the word heart. Lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what I just said. It's shined in our hearts so we can shine it upon everybody else, upon the world. Monica's just innocently telling Sue, I've been blessed with a quest for his quest, not realizing that, knowing it, but your words have power. And when you say something eternal, it has an eternal impact upon somebody. That's written down. I'm going to use that from now on. But it has an eternal impact. Impacts Monica, obviously.
Yes.
And so, okay, just a minute. Oh, well. Just a minute.
Okay.
Let's try this again.
Yeah.
I want this to work. No, I don't want that. Okay. Okay, we'll have to deal with it later. Oh, well, praise God. Anyway, so the light has been shined in our hearts so that we can have an impact upon every believer that we're in contact with and upon the world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let's read some more here. I read verse 4 again. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's verse 4. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure, there's the word treasure, in earthen vessels. That's you. That's your earthen vessels. That's your body. You're not a body, but that's your house that you live in. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, let's go over here into the Old Testament, to the book Psalm, to the 119th Psalm. It'd be incorrect to say Psalms 119. It's Psalm 119. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. Okay? One of my pet peeves. In the book of Revelations, it says... No, it's not the book of Revelations. It's... The Bible is a book of Revelations. It's God's revealing His will and word to us, okay? But this is Psalm 119. And I want to read here in verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. This is a group of verses 9 through 16, that I confess at least once a week. Sometimes more. But look what it says here in verse 9 of Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So now he's going to tell us how to take heed. With my whole heart. So there's that word heart. And last Friday when I was talking about it, when the Bible talks heart, sometimes it's referring to your spirit. Sometimes it's referring to your spirit and your soul. Okay? And I'll go ahead and get ahead of myself a little bit, but quote 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where Paul says, and that's on our list of scriptures for today, where Paul says, I pray God that your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved wholly, not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So spirit, soul, and body. And then if you go over and read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the word of God is quick and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to divide asunder between the spirit and soul. So they're different entities. They both are eternal components of us, of our makeup, but they are different. Your soul is not your spirit, and your spirit is not your soul. Oftentimes, you know, you hear Christians say this all the time, we're just all about saving souls, okay? Well, really what you're doing is you're saving spirits, is what you're doing, because you are a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. Let's, before we're reading further in Psalm 119, let's just illustrate this with the men, okay? And here's the men. And you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, okay? And they each have a different color for a multitude of reasons. One, it's easy to tell the difference, okay? But I have other reasons for it. But this is where an eternal part of you, and this is an eternal part of you. And the reason I know your soul is eternal, because it says in the book of Genesis chapter 2, it says that God, after he molded Adam out of the dust of the ground, the clay, he says he breathed into him, the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. So what God, now we know that in the book of John, chapter 4, Jesus told us in verse 24, he says, God is a spirit. And we know that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we know that it says that darkness, in verse 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's when time began, by the way. And in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. So God is a spirit. That's his species. Okay? If you were to actually take, don't anybody go to town on this and think I'm saying this is just an example, okay? But if God were sitting here and you were to take a sample of his blood, blood is where the DNA is. His DNA would indicate that he is spirit. That's what God is. He is a spirit, okay? But he's not some nebulous cloud floating out there somewhere. That's part of the mystery, is how the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is spirit, you know. But anyway, but if you were to take a sample of God, you would find out that his DNA is that he is spirit. So when he breathed into Adam the breath of life, he breathed into him the life of God. He breathed into him some of him. And we know that's true because in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 53 or 57, wherever that is, the very last verse there in Luke chapter 2, it's given the lineage from like verse 35 all the way to the end of the chapter. And it talks about the lineage of Jesus Christ on his stepfather's side of the family, Joseph. And we know it's his stepfather for several reasons, but it says right there in that verse 35, or if that's where it starts, it says, and this is the lineage of Jesus' father, who was Joseph, who was supposed, it was supposed, it was assumed that he was Jesus' father, but he was actually Jesus' stepfather. So we know that when Jesus had brothers, that they were his half-brothers, because Joseph was the father of his of those brothers, and Mary was the commonality, the mother of all the boys, okay? And we know he had brethren, because I read it this morning in Luke chapter 9. It says that Jesus was thronged by a multitude, and it said that his mother and his brothers were at the back of the crowd wanting to see Jesus. And that's where he made the comment. He says, my mother and my brethren are those who do the will of God. You guys should have been up here first anyway. That's what he's saying. Don't come to the back of the line thinking because you're related to me that you get a special privilege. That's right. That's right. That's exactly what he told him. It was a rebuke. Now, after that, we know that she began to be close to him, okay? She was there at the cross. You know, she was there, okay? But at that point, he said, my mother and my brethren are those who do the will of God. Now, we know that's even happened in our lives as believers. I've got friends who are actually brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm actually closer to them than I am my siblings. I am, you know, and I'd rather be with them than my siblings. Now, if my siblings hear this, tough, I'm sorry. I love you, but it's a fact. We have the same life of God in us. It's just the way it is. I speak truth this morning. Okay. So your heart, he says, let's go back here to Psalm 119. He says in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, what did Jesus say about that? He said, the second commandment is, well, excuse me, that's not right to say it that way. He said, the first commandment is, Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with thy soul, with all thy mind. Okay? That's a decision you make. You make the decision in your soul. Your soul is expressed through your mind, your will, and emotions. That's what gives Monica her personality. That's why she dresses like she does.
Hey.
You know?
It's my flavor.
That's right. Exactly. It's your flavor. That's exactly right. In fact, oftentimes I have said in the past when I preach, you know, I like to quote Galatians 2:20. Okay. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a paraphrase of the Bible called the Distilled Bible, okay? And what that means is they just, in this, it's a little paperback, and they've just put in, this author put in what he thought was really important for you to read. And so it means a lot of it, it's been truncated, it's been taken out. If you distill water, you take all the junk out of it, okay? So he thought he was taking the junk out of the Bible. But anyway, but he does a marvelous rendering, this particular author, of Galatians 2:20, and it says this: I consider I myself as having died, and I'm now enjoying a second existence, which is Jesus Christ using my body. And I'd always say this: the person that's preaching to you right now is Jesus Christ in a Lee Schrader suit. You see that? So when Monica walks in and says, he blessed me with a quest for his quest. Well, that's Jesus Christ talking to me in a Monica Lovell suit. Okay? I think you ought to pronounce it Lovell, but anyway, Lovell, you know. But people are always trying to tell me how, well, that's not how your name should be pronounced. Well, that's how it's pronounced. Anyway, so that's how we do that. But so, what's your last name, Sue?
Huddleston,
that's right. Sue, I know Susan Huddleston, by the way, that I grew up with. But anyway, so every time when Sue speaks the word of God, that's Jesus Christ in a Sue Huddleston suit, because that's her flavor. And God, he made you that way. Now, let me qualify that. Oftentimes you see people who dress a specific way or have a certain outward appearance. And we see that all through pop culture now. You know, many of the people that I thought were great when I was a young boy growing up, a lot of pop culture icons, I don't hate them, but I abhor what they represent and abhor how they look. You know, they'll make the excuse, well, this is who I am. No, it's not. It's who you want to express yourself to be. Because you can't really know who you are till first of all you're born again, and then you go through the process of transformation through mind renewal. That's in Romans 12:1-3, okay? So until you go through at least a minimum amount of mind renewal, you really, you're just expressing who you want to be. Now, I illustrate it with this, and I know now we'll get into the intermission. I'll say this, and we'll go to the intermission. I know now that this was the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin and leading and guiding me into all truth. This is for something that happened to me before I was saved. But then I didn't know it, but it was apparent to me what I'm getting to illustrate. And I'm 18 years old, and I'm sitting at a rock concert in San Antonio, Texas. Rock concert, okay? Bunch of long-haired people smoking dope and listening to rock and roll. Badfinger and Cactus, I believe, were the bands. Cactus was the old, and Badfinger. You all know Badfinger. If you want it, here it is coming. Okay. No matter what you are. Okay, that's Badfinger, okay? Anyway, so they were the headline act. So we're there to see Cactus and Badfinger and another band called Beck, Bogart, and a Piece. That's, anyway. Now, some of you, if you're hip enough, you know who I'm talking about. Most people have no clue. But anyway, so the first act, I think the first act was Cactus, and they did their set, 30-minute set, and then we're sitting on the bottom row, and they turned on the house lights. And so this is the San Antonio Municipal Auditorium, so it seats 9 or 10,000 people, and the place is packed. The balcony's packed. The bottom floor, around the mezzanine level, it's packed. And I'm sitting on the front row of the back section on the mezzanine level. And I've got I've got a grand view of everybody. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching them. Okay, and I'm watching everybody mill around and talk. You know, all the 5,000 people on this bottom level just milling around talking, you know, and going to the bathroom or going to get a beer or whatever they're doing, okay? And they're talking, and this is what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me. He was shedding light on this, and I got to look at everybody. Now, at that time, I had shoulder-length hair, and I was what people would call a hippie. The hippies already died out. We called ourselves freaks because this was spring of 1972. And so I'm sitting there, and I got to noticing all the guys and all the girls, and I realized all the guys looked just like me. Most of them had long hair or growing their hair out long, and they all had the same similar attire and clothing, Levi's or Wranglers, some sort of a boot or tennis shoe, and in my case, a Wrangler Western shirt, denim shirt, or a flannel shirt, and I just, wow. And then I got to looking at all the chicks. We called them chicks back then, okay? And checking out all the chicks, and they all dressed the same. And what was popular then was to wear cut-off Levi's, and they all frayed at the bottom, okay? Or you wore regular long Levi's, but they were 501s. If you were hip, you wore Levi 501s, and all the chicks, if they weren't wearing some kind of really garish-looking bell bottoms, they were wearing Levi 501s and these peasant tops, okay, or tank tops, okay, halter, excuse me. And I just got to looking at them all. I thought, golly, we all look the same. And supposedly we're the counterculture, and we're expressing our individuality, and we're rebelling from the system. And we're rebelling from the man, but yet we've all conformed to the same image. Not even really expressing who we were or who we are, but trying to be just like everyone else. To be cool and to be accepted. That's what that was all about. And nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And I got off on that rabbit trail. Because I said, oftentimes I encounter people, and I'm making fun of, I always make fun of Monica because of what she dresses. It's kind of a term of endearment. It's really, I'm telling her that I like her, okay? Although I don't always approve of what she wears, but anyway. So, but that's always, it's when I come in, it's always, I wonder what Monica's wearing today. And I'm rarely not. Most times I have a smile on my face. Okay, anyway. And it's, so anyway. But my point with all this is that you see people, and especially now, you know, you walk into a Walmart, wow. It's sad. It's really sad to walk into a Walmart and just look how people look and how they're dressed. You know, I want to yell and scream at every one of those men who are, who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s who are dressed like Dennis the Menace. You know, they're 40-year-old adolescents. You know, turn your hat around. You know, quit wearing the baggy shorts that come down just past your knees. Get some pants on. You know, just dress like an adult. Just dress like an adult. You know, and quit being so slovenly. But, you know, but I'm just being who I am. No, you're not. You're just dressed like everybody else. And you're just reflecting the morals of society and the decay that's occurring right now. Let's go to intermission.